Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook. Good morning, Beth Ann.
Good morning.
Low-income renters in hopes of relief at the legislature, yeah?
And hope may be all that happens for this year. We're going to talk about that this morning. Now, advocates for more help for low-income renters tried again this year to increase the housing credit. Up until about 10 days ago, that looked pretty good. But following the appointment of conferees to duke out the differences between the House and Senate versions of the bill, nothing happened. No conference committee hearing was scheduled, and now time is running out. Final decking ends tomorrow. Victor Gemignani is one of 11 nonprofit leaders and advocates supporting the bill, who wrote to lawmakers earlier this week asking for HB 2166 to be scheduled. He joins us in our studio now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's talk a little bit about that credit, because part of it is perhaps that people don't understand that this has not been keeping pace with inflation or keeping pace with cost.
That's correct. The low-income household renters credit was adopted in the 70s at a time when we were, I think, more sympathetic to the regressivity that our tax system inherently has throughout it. So the credit was established at $50 per exemption. That's $150 for a family of three in 1981 was the last time it's been adjusted. It has not been adjusted now for the last 35 years. So we've been trying over the last two or three years to get an inflation factor built in so that renters that are struggling and low and moderate income taxpayers that are struggling because of the tax low we have and the high cost of housing and the low wages they're paid have some relief to make a serious stand on their ability to ultimately survive and pay the rents that they need to pay.
Over this three-year period where you've been essentially making the same argument using a lot of the same data, and we haven't seen a whole lot of change happen, it's gotten far into the process, and then it seems to drop out. What is the essential problem that you see between the Senate version and the House version?
Well, both versions, I think, are fairly good. They provide for $150 per exemption for low and moderate income household renters, and that income level goes from $30,000 to $60,000. So if you have a low-income renter making less than $60,000 a year, they would be eligible for $150 per exemption. That's $450 for a family of three. Think a mom with two kids that are struggling on $16,000, $18,000 annual salary. That's a big, big change in their lifestyle. Now, last year, we were able to successfully get through an inflation factor for the food excise tax credit. There are two credits that we have in the state, historically, again, adopted during the 70s to deal with the regressivity of our system, which is built on GET, which is the most regressive system you can have. That's why we have such a regressive tax system. So those credits were implemented in the 70s, and last year, we were able to get an inflation factor from $85 to $125 for the GE food credit. This year, we're for the third year going for a increase in the renter's credit. When we're able to succeed at that, we will at least have brought those two credits up to par in terms of what current dollars would need to make them equivalent to what they were back in the 70s.
You mentioned that there are really few differences between the House version and the Senate version. So what is a sticking point in not being able to come to consensus and actually get this scheduled?
Well, there is a broad base of support in both the House and Senate. We've been working on the bill now for over 6 to 9 months, and it's amazing how much people understand the problems we have in our current tax system and the challenges that low and moderate income people face on a day-to-day basis. The problem is the money, whether this ultimately will rise to be a priority for the House and Senate and the conference committee process, and that obviously ends on Friday. So we're hoping in the next day, this hearing has got to be scheduled by Friday, which means it has to be noticed by tomorrow, or actually today. We hope that ultimately there will be money enough to be able to provide some form of increase, but we don't know.
The open letter that went out to lawmakers earlier in the week, what kind of response did you have to that?
Well, I think there's a fairly broad-based level of response and support.
But from leadership that would be able to help in any way?
Well, it's up to we will wait for the next few days to see ultimately if it had an impact. I mean, I can tell you we had a poll that was very heavily carried by the newspaper here in town that we did with 500 people. QMART did it, QMART Research, about 2 months ago, 2.5 months ago, and it found that 48% of our people are living paycheck to paycheck. and 86% of the respondents supported some form of tax credits to be able to provide relief. One in four, by the way, are living paycheck or living with absolutely no assets to be able to survive any kind of fracturing the family unit. According to the surveys that were done in the data collection by Focused, which is a non-profit advocacy organization that deals a lot with the homeless, about a quarter of the people on the streets are there because they weren't able to pay for the rent. When we have a situation of escalating rents, and this is the 11 or 12 supporters, nonprofit directors that signed the letter, all that recognize when you have the highest cost of housing in the United States past San Francisco and New York and the lowest wages in the United States, the only thing you can really do to create a system where people actually can afford the escalating rents with stagnant wages is to increase their revenues, their dollars coming in. And the best way and the quickest way and the most efficient way is through tax credits. Get them immediate help by reducing the amount of dollars being taken out of their pockets to pay for taxes. And I might add that it's kind of ridiculous for our state to be one of the few that actually taxes people deeper into poverty when we spend millions and millions of dollars trying to get them out of poverty. It just makes no policy sense.
So what you're really saying is that there's a real disconnect between what we do for, say, people who are homeless or what we're attempting to do for people who are homeless and not necessarily for people who are working and renting and barely scraping.
Correct. It costs you a lot of money, to get people off the streets. We obviously see that in the escalation of the cost for shelters and services that are being provided to this population. Much easier to keep them in the houses. And the way you do that ultimately is allow them to be able to afford the rents that they're paying when their income is so low. It's cost effective for us to intervene early on and stop the regressivity of our tax system. We're the second worst tax system in the United States for taxing a low and moderate income people. There's just no excuse to allow that to continue. So if you can get money into people's pockets, they'll be able to afford the rent, they'll avoid homelessness, and it'll reduce our costs in terms of the services that are required to try to stabilize them and get them out of the state of homelessness. Not to mention that 43-44% of the people that are on the streets are kids. There are keiki that are suffering every day through the trauma of living on the streets.
We've got to go in just a second, but what about the idea that the Tax Foundation of Hawaii has been floating for a while? Just tell them they don't have to pay?
Would love that. To be frank with you, the Tax Foundation and ourselves agree that we ought not to be taxing people living in poverty. Credits are the way to do that. And I think ultimately the existence of credits will allow us to reduce or eliminate the impact of people living in poverty. If you were to pass this low-income tax credit for renters, you will basically come close to eliminating all taxation on people living in poverty. So I think us and the Tax Foundation agree on the ultimate goal, maybe different in terms of strategies and how to get there.
Well, we're going to be watching and seeing what happens over the next 24 hours because that's just about it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your time, Beth Ann.
Thanks so much for coming in. Victor Gemignani is the executive director of the Hawaii Appleseed Center for Law and Economic Justice. He and other advocates have been making the case for an increase in the low-income renters' housing credit, asked that to HB 2166 that was sent to conference actually get a conference committee hearing.